We're continuing the shir in Likutei Halachos, Choshen Mishpat, Hilchas Choshen Mishpat Chelek Aleph, Hilchas Dayonim, Halacha Dalid, paragraph Yud Beis. We said that this halacha is based on chapter 280 in Likutei Moran, where Rabbeinu Zalveir says that when Jews find themselves being summoned to court over a disagreement, over a litigation regarding business, any kind of business or transaction or anything like that. Could be laws of neighbors, boundaries. It's a message to those that are coming to court that in how they're conducting their business or their physical life, their materialistic life, they've disconnected from the Torah. They've forgotten that everything is connected to the Torah, including business, including work, including how you live. And as a punishment, Hashem has created a scenario whereby they have to come to court, they have to come before the judges, and they have to tell the judges everything about this particular situation, the business transaction, whatever it is. And in this manner, they're shown very clearly that their business is definitely related to the Torah. And because the judges, they analyze everything only through the eyes of the Torah, if they are competent, qualified judges. And we spoke quite a bit about this. Now Rav Nosson Zal is pretty much finishing up this halacha. V'zehu shom Rabbi Yisenu Zal, based on what we've learned here, we could understand what the Gemara says. Kol dayon shedon dinem eslamitoi, that any judge who judges a real proper judgment, a real honest judgment, mashre shechina b'Yisrael, he causes the Holy Spirit of Hashem to rest with the Jewish people. Ki bevadai mashre shechina, because he certainly causes the presence of the shechina to be found among the Jews. Me'achar she'oso mikol iskei choil Torah, because of the fact that this judge took an issue that was dover chol, divrei chol, seemingly unrelated to Torah, a business issue, something like that, and made it into Torah. Umegale, thereby revealing shemaloi chol horetz kevoidoi, that Hashem's honor and glory fills the entire world. It's not just in the synagogues, it's not just in the places of the study of Torah, it's everywhere. Alkein bevadai mashre shechina b'Yisrael. Therefore, a judge who does this certainly causes the shechina, the Holy Spirit of Hashem, to rest with the Jew, to be with the Jewish people. Ki ze Iker Hashroas Hashchina, because Rav Nosson Zal says, achieving what we're achieving here, that's what really leads to the presence of Hashem being found among the Jewish people and being felt. Kishenizgale Sheshchina Selukusoi Bechol Advorim Shevoilam. You know when that happens? When we're able to show that the presence of Hashem is found in everything in the world, not just in Torah, not just in books, but in everything that goes on in the materialistic world. Sheze nase al yedei hadayon shedon dinem eslamitoi. And this is accomplished by a judge who carries out a real, true, proper judgment according to the Torah. V'zehu shediktuku Rabbi Zeinu Zal v'yomru, and now you'll understand why the rabbis were very specific when they said these words. Shekol dayon shedon dinemes la'amitoi. Any judge who judges a real, true judgment. Now the word emes is repeated there. Normally you would say shedon dinemes, any judge who carries out a true judgment. What is a true judgment to the truth? La'amitoi. What does that mean? V'dikduku bekama mekoimos. And we find this quotation in many places in the Gemara. V'diktiku hameforshim tevas la'amitoi, and the commentaries make a point of pointing this out, this word la'amitoi, shehu l'choira miyutor, which seems totally extra. Kimufa be'Beis Yosef, b'tchilas hatur chesh mishpat. As the Beis Yosef points this out, in the beginning of the Torah's commentary to Chesh Mishpat, Ayin Shem, take a look over there. So the question is, what is this wording, don din emes la'amitoi? Achal pi anal meduktok yofer. However, based on what we have been learning here, you're going to see how it fits beautifully, and you're going to understand exactly what the point the Gemara is trying to make is. Ki ze ikar hashleimus, because this is the perfection, sheyodin hadin emes la'amitoi, when the judge judges an honest judgment, he comes forth with an honest resolution, and then that gets plugged in to the amitoi, to the emes, and we'll see in a minute what that means. Dahainu sheyikasher veyale kol hachius v'hanitzoitzois shebeho esek shedonen olav. This means that the judge, by listening to these two litigants and hearing their scenario and then showing them how everything they're talking about is rooted in the Torah and exactly how the Torah analyzes this and everything that they're talking about comes from the Torah and is connected to the Torah, by doing that, this judge actually elevates the sparks, the holy sparks that were found in their business, in their real estate or in their products and whatever it is, or their houses, whatever the disagreement was about. We mentioned earlier that all of these things have sparks of Kiddush in them from the time of Adam Arishon. By the judge showing the litigants that what they're talking about is all Torah, it's all connected to the Torah, by plugging it into the Torah in that way, suddenly all the spirituality, the holy sparks that were found in there, are elevated and rectified. V'zehu b'china shebe'esek, by the judge showing them, shebe'esek shedonan olav el ha-Torah. He's elevating the sparks and the spirituality that's found in their situation, which is being judged here, he's elevating it to the Torah, shenikreis emes, which is called truth. V'zeh b'chinas din emes la'amitoi. Now you understand the wording in the Gemara. There's two issues here. Number one, there's the judge hearing them both out and figuring out who's right, who's telling the truth and who isn't. That's number one. But there's a much higher achievement that needs to be accomplished here, that both litigants need to be enlightened. The fact that they're being brought into a court, to a Jewish court of law, implies that they were lacking in their connection to Torah, that they were conducting their business or their life without really being plugged into the Torah, and that's why Hashem dragged them into court. And by the judges showing them that what they're speaking about, exactly where it's found in the Torah and how it's defined in the Torah, suddenly their eyes are open and they say, wow, we forgot, we got disconnected somehow. And when that happens, when that realization happens, the sparks of Kedusha that were found in their business or in whatever aspect of their lives is being brought to court now, those sparks are suddenly turned on. They're elevated and they are connected to the Torah. And that's the din emes la'amitoi. V'zeh b'chinas din emes la'amitoi. Shemekasher ho'esek she'olav posku hadin emes. The judge is connecting this business dealing upon which the judge brought forth an honest judgment. Humekasher o'esoi l'shoyresh u'emes. The judge, in additional, is connecting it to the source of truth, shehu haTorah, which is the Torah, dahainu shezoichen lenatzeach hamelchama, and by doing this, we're zoiched to win the battle. Which battle? The battle, the rescue mission of rescuing the holy sparks that were trapped in whatever business dealing these people were involved in, lahalois ulekasher kol ha'esik shedonin olav, to elevate and connect this entire business dealing that's being discussed here, el ha'Torah, to connect it to the Torah. And now Rav Nosson Zal shows this really clearly. Listen carefully to these next few lines. Ki yochel lihiyos, because it's very possible, sheyodin hadayon din emes, that these two litigants come to court screaming, you stole from me, no, you stole from me, it's my money, it's his money, back and forth. And they come into court that way, and the judge hears them out, and he figures out who's right and who's wrong based on the Torah, and he tells them, you're right, you're wrong, based on these and these Gemaras and Halacha and the Shach over here, you're right and you're wrong. So the judge makes an accurate judgment, avol einoi la'amitoi, but the judge did not take it to the next level. It's a din emes, but it's not din emes la'amitoi, meaning, dehainu sheguf hadin emes, meaning, this exact point, this true judgment, shemezake es hazakai, whereby the judge declares this one innocent and this one guilty, you're right, you're wrong, you have to pay the money, you don't have to pay. However, the judge didn't take it to the next level. He didn't have the presence of mind to attach this whole business, this whole transaction, this whole issue upon which the judge carried out a true judgment to connect the entire thing to the Torah. That the judge didn't do. He didn't raise the awareness of the people there. So you see now that this business that you've been doing, that you sort of lost sight a little bit, you forgot that you're religious Jews. You forgot that everything that you're doing involves Torah and comes from the Torah and is plugged into the Torah. The judge didn't do that, chas v'shalom. Ach ikar hashlemus, whereas the real perfection of a judgment is sheyodin din emes la'amitoi. When the judge is zeichen not just to figure out who's right and who's wrong and declare the right person right, the other one wrong, but rather, sheho esik shedonu olav din emes, this whole scenario, this whole issue about which the judge brought forth a true judgment, yizku laha'aloisoi ulekashroi lamitoi, to take the entire package and elevate it to the emes, which means l'shoyresh emes, to the source of truth, shehu ha-Torah, which is the Torah, dahainu sheyachseru v'yalu v'yinasu kol ho'esek, meaning for the judge not just to say you're right, you're wrong, you're tzaddik, you're no good, you're, on the contrary, to take the whole package, both litigants and the whole judgment and their whole business, and elevate it, lift it up, v'yasu mimenu Torah semes, and turn it into true Torah, meaning to raise their consciousness, to make everybody aware that there's a Hashem, and Hashem is everywhere, including in your business, and including both of you, both litigants, and everything that's involved here. All of it is connected to all of it is part of the Torah. All of it draws its life from the Torah. And it's only if the judge succeeds in taking it to that level, then he's zoiche to all the blessings and all the good things that the Torah writes about a judge who is don din emes la'amitoi. Dehainu, meaning shenase shutuf la'kodesh baruch hu b'maisa bereishis. He actually becomes a partner with Hashem in creation, because this is what creation was all about. Before Hashem created, there was wall-to-wall Hashem. There was only Hashem, only spirituality, only infinite light. The purpose of creation was to take it a step further, to show that Hashem, who is all light and all spirituality, can also be found within a materialistic world, within the world of the angels, within the world of the human beings, within buildings, within plants, within animals, within people, within businesses. That's what the whole purpose of creation was all about. For Hashem to come down, and plug into this materialistic world and be hidden behind and found in everything in this world. So a judge who is zeiche not only to make the proper decision of who's right or who's wrong, but he raises the consciousness of everybody there. He reminds them, he makes them realize that all of this is plugged into Torah, all of this is Hashem, then he's partners with creation. He's actually reenacting what happened when Hashem created the world. Umashre Shechina be Yisrael. And he is causing the presence of the Shechina to be found and felt among the Jewish people. Hainu kanal, as we explained earlier. Ki bechina zois. Because this concept, kishezoichen lahalois kol hadvorem el haTorah, when we're able to elevate everything in the materialistic world, to plug it into Torah, Zeo Bechinas Maisa Bereshis. That's what the creation of the world was really all about. Where it says, Bereshis Bara Lekimis Hashmayim V'Soretz. Hashem created heaven and the earth with Reshis. What is Reshis? The Torah. The Torah is called Reshis. So there was the Torah, which is wall-to-wall spirituality. Hashem created a physical, materialistic world. And Hashem married them together. Hashem hid the Torah. He hid himself in everything in this materialistic world. In the light bulb, in the chair, in the table, in the cup of coffee. Hashem is in everything. And when a judge is zeiche to analyze a situation, discover who's right and who's wrong, who is emes and who is sheker, that's step one. That's a little accomplishment. If he's zeiche on top of that, for the judge to realize and to educate everybody in the courtroom, to show them how all of this, our entire lives, are all plugged into the Torah. And we draw our spirituality and our physical, everything, from the Torah, he raises that conscious, then he's taken it to the next level. That's called Din Emes La'amitoi. He's plugged in his particular judgment to the big picture, to the big Emes, which is Hashem, which is the Torah, and that's what brings about a tikkun for all the holy sparks that are found in all the business dealings, whatever these people were involved in. Baruch Hashem li'olam, amen v'amen. Blessed is Hashem, amen v'amen. With this, Rav Nosson Zal concluded this halacha, but then he found an additional chiddush, an additional piece, and attached it. Paragraph Yud Gimel, V'alkein, and based on all of this, you'll understand an additional important point. Ha'botei dinin kvuin b'sheni v'chamishi. The Jewish courts, the rabbinical courts, would sit in judgment on Monday and on Thursday. K'moyisham Rabbi Seinuzal, as the Gemara mentions in a few places. Why? Because Rabbeinu Zal explains over there in chapter 280 in Likut Imran, which this entire halach is based on, all the way at the end of that chapter in Likut Imran, Rabbeinu Zal attaches a piece of Kabbalah to it. And he says, Shekishemekashe machshavtoi b'shas asiyas hamasu matan el ha-toira, that when a Jew, during his business dealings, attaches the innermost part of his brain to Torah, even if he has to use his brain, he has to think and concentrate on the business that he's doing, that's the outer part of his machshava. But the pnimius of his machshava, he makes sure is connected totally to the Torah. Zehu bechinas chochma bina das da'asiya oile el hayitzira. That's fulfilling what the Arizal says, that the Arizal says that the way the worlds get elevated is that what has to happen first, you have to vacate, let's say when you want to elevate, when you want to take sparks of Kedusha that fell into the Tuma, into the Sitrachra, and you want to elevate them, in order to do that, you have to make room. You have to create a vacancy. Just like Lahavdil, those who study biology know How do we breathe? How does breathing take place? There's the diaphragm. There's a certain part of our body called the diaphragm that's below the lungs. The diaphragm moves down, creating a vacuum. And when there's a vacuum, creating empty space and creating a void. When there's empty space, when there's air outside the body, and there's an empty vacuum inside, created where there's no air, then the air is naturally sucked in to fill that vacant space. Lahavdil, lahavdil. In Kedusha, when we want to elevate sparks of Kedusha from the bottom of the Kedusha, from the Malchus, that have fallen into the Sitra Achra, in order to do that, we have to shake the whole tree. We have to first see to it that the Chochma Bina Das of this level, of the Olam Huasiya, should lift off, should go up into the Olam HaYetzira. When they go up, everything else moves up also. The Chesed Gvura Tiferes moves up to where the Chochma Bina Das was originally. The Netzach Hoyed Yesoid moves up to where Chesed Gvura Tiferes was. And then the Malchus of Kedusha is able to suck up sparks of Kedusha that were out of the ballpark, that were in the Tumah, to bring them up. So Rabbi Nazal says there that when a person takes the pnimius of his machshava and connects it to Torah, by doing that, he's elevating. The person is in the Olam Ho'asiya. Connecting to the Torah, we're going to see soon that the Torah is in Yetzira, in the world of Yetzira, which is the world of the angels. We know that when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to get the Torah, it says he encountered opposition. The angels said, "Who are you? Asher tenohoitcha l'shamayim." The Torah belongs with us, with the angels. So the Arizal says that the Torah corresponds to the Olam HaYetzira, which is the angels. And when a Jew who is in the Olam HaAsiya, when he connects the pnimius of his machshava to the Torah, he's taking Chachma Bin Adas of Asiya and elevating it, connecting it to Yetzira. Ayin Shom, look over there at the end of chapter 280 in Likutei Moran, where Rabbi Nazal's quoting from the Arizal. Ve'isa b'kisvei Arizal, and it's the Arizal also tells us she'sheni v'chamishi hein b'chinas yetzira, that Monday and Thursday correspond to the Olam HaYetzira, shehu haTorah, which is the Torah. V'alkein koirim bohem b'Torah. And the Arizal says, now you'll understand why it's only on Mondays and Thursdays that we take out the Sefer Torah, that we read from the Torah, because Mondays and Thursdays correspond to the Olam HaYetzira, which is Torah. Ayin Shom, look over there in the Pri Eitz Chaim, where the Arizal explains this. V'alkein bohem botedinim kvuim. Now you'll understand also why the Jewish courts convene on Mondays and Thursdays. Ki bohem yecholim hadayonim lahalois ulekasha amasumatan el haTorah. Because on Mondays and Thursdays, when the Torah is shining brightly, when we read the Torah in shul, and when the Arizal says that's the Olam HaYetzira, when the Torah is strong, that's when the judges have a special opportunity to take whatever case is being brought before them and plug it into the Torah. And thereby, lesaken hapigam shepogmu abalidinim, and thereby correct whatever deficiency, whatever defect was caused by these two litigants. Because we said again, the fact that they're coming to court implies they forgot the Torah. They disconnected from the Torah. And Hashem is dragging them into court to throw them into a swimming pool of Torah. The court, the Jewish rabbinical court, is wall-to-wall Torah. They're going to be shown, if the court is really a court, not only are they going to be shown the Torah's judgment on their particular situation, but they're going to be shown that everything they're dealing with, their entire business, their entire gashmi life, is all plugged into the Torah, is all connected to the Torah. Ki sheni v'chamishi, because the Arizal shows that Monday and Thursday, hein b'chinas yitzira, correspond to the world called the Olam HaYetzira, which is b'chinas haTorah, which is the Torah, v'kanal, as we mentioned, as we said above. I know that it's brought in the Zohar HaKadosh that the four letters of Hashem's name, Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei, correspond to the Yud is Ahava, the He is Yira, The Vav is Torah, and the last He is Tefillah. That's one of the ways that the Zohar HaKadosh shows. And we know that the Vav represents Torah. One of the reasons why the Vav represents Torah is, it's brought that when Moshe Rabbeinu brought down the Luchos were 6 by 6. The measurements of the Luchos were 6 Tvachim by 6 Tvachim. So that the letter Vav is used to represent Torah many times. Now we know, so that's Yud Kei Vav Kei. The worlds, Yud is Atzilus, He is Bria, Vav is Yitzira, and the last He is Asiya. So you see the correspondence, you see the connection. Obviously, those who are more knowledgeable in these concepts would see it more clearly, but for our purposes, Rav Nosson Zal showed us, Rabbeinu Zal there shows in Likutei Moran, that everything has a reason, and everything is plugged into its exact place that it's supposed to be plugged in. That if the Jewish courts convene on Monday and Thursday, it's not said the judges should have a lot of time off. They should have Sundays with the family, the barbecues, and it's nothing to do with that. Their specific connection, why these bote dinim, of what these courts have to achieve, that can be achieved only and best on Monday and Thursday. With this, we conclude Halacha Dalet, and it's written here, Haskolosoi Tov Kuf Tzadik Ches, that this Halacha, Rav Nosson Zal, started in the year Tov Kuf Tzadik Ches, which was 7 years before he passed away, B'Kehilas Kodesh Nemerov Rabosi. And Rav Nosson Zal at that time was in the city of Nemerov, which is about 18 kilometers from Breslov, where Rav Nosson Zal lived a major part of his life. Halacha Hey, Alpima Shekosuv Bahatoira Tiku Emuna. This halacha will be based on chapter 5 in the second half of Likutei Moran, Belikutei Tanina, Ba'ois Yud Aleph, starting from paragraph 11 over there. That chapter of Likutei Moran, Tiku Emuna, as it's called, was the shir that Rabbeinu Zal gave 2 Rosh Hashanahs before he passed away. In the second half of Likutei Moran, there are 3 tikkus, chapter 1, chapter 5, and chapter 8, which were the last 3 Rosh Hashanahs of Rabbeinu Zal's life. Each one of those shiurim is an ocean, a huge ocean. When Rabbeinu Zal spoke on Rosh Hashanah, he usually spoke for about 3 hours, 2-3 hours. The shiur was given in the evening, after Tashlich, right after Tashlich of the first day, between the first day and the second day, that's when Rabbeinu Zal would speak. And those that are familiar with Likutei Moran know that each one of those shiurim is awesome. Rabbeinu Zal discusses usually 10, 15 major topics and weaves them together and shows how all of them are achieved on Rosh Hashanah. Here, Rav Nosson Zal is going to focus on paragraph 11 in that Torah, where Rabbeinu Zal says, Rabbeinu Zal there speaks about Mikra Laila, about Chas V'Shalom, an accidental emission during the night, which sometimes happens, an emission of Tumah that flows from the body of a person, and this is considered a type of Pegam HaBris, a defect in the area of the Bris Kodesh. The Rabbeinu Zal and other Sforim discuss that sometimes this could be caused by overeating or by eating improperly before going to sleep, unrelated to Pegam HaBris. And sometimes there are other things that can cause that a person is sleeping the wrong way. A person is supposed to sleep on their side, not on the back, not on their stomach. Different physical things that can cause it. But unfortunately, sometimes it's caused by thoughts, by what a person thinks about during the day. That if a person is thinking improper thoughts during the day, sometimes Chas V'Shalom, this could cause this type of unclean. It causes Chas V'Shalom bad dreams, dreams where a person sees things that cause this type of emission, Chas V'Shalom, of seed, of zera. Now, in this chapter in Likutei Moran, Rabbeinu Zal introduces another issue. Rabbeinu Zal says there, Sheyesh Shebo Hamikre Alidei Rabonim Vidayonim She'enam Ksherim. Sometimes a Jew will experience this type of mikre laila, as it's called, this type of emission, because of rabbis or judges who are not doing their job properly, who are chas v'shalom committing sins in their work. Shepoigmen bekiso islamishbot, whereby they're doing things wrong regarding the throne of judgment, the throne of justice. And this causes love and desires to fall from the throne of Hashem. We can't go into it completely, but just enough to understand, the Torah tells us about the throne of Hashem. There's a pasuk in Shir HaShirim where it says, Merkovoi argamon, the throne of Hashem is purple, toichoi rotzuf ava, the inside is lined with love. We know that when we speak about Hashem, judgment, we just completed, yesterday was Yom Kippur, today is called Shem Hashem. This shir is being given on the day that's called Shem Hashem, the day after Yom Kippur, in the year Tuf Shin Ayin Dalet, 5774, 2013. And these 10 days are called 10 days of judgment, Mishpat. However, we know that when we speak about Hashem judging and judgment, Hashem's Midas Hadin usually is very thin. Usually Hashem is 99% love, 1% judgment. That's why Hashem is compared to an apple sometimes. Chakal Tapuch and Kadishin. An apple usually is 99% white. You look at an apple, a red, delicious apple. Ask anybody, what color is the apple? It's red. Anybody can say it's called a red, delicious apple. Who doesn't know that? But a person who knows more knows that the red is a millimeter. You strip away that thin outer covering of red, and it's all white inside. The Arizal says that Hashem's Midas Hadin is also like that. If you take Hashem's name, Aleph Dalid Nun Yud, which is Din, Dino de Malchusa Dina, Dino is Dalid Yud Nun Aleph. If you take that name of Hashem and you look inside of it, you will see what's inside. Let's take a look for a moment. Each one of those letters is comprised of three letters. When you pronounce it, Aleph, it's as if it were written Aleph Lamed Pei. Dalid, it's as if it were written Dalid Lamed Tuf. Nun, Nun Vav Nun. Yud, Yud Vav Dalid. Let's look at what's inside. Aleph Lamed Pei, inside is a Lamed. The middle piece of that is a Lamed, that's 30. Dalid, Dalid Lamed Tuf, the inside is another Lamed, another 30, we have 60. Nun, Nun Vav Nun, there's a Vav there, which is a 6, 66. Yud Vav Dalid, again a Vav, another 6, 72, which is Chesed. The Arizal says this shows us that Hashem's Midas Hadin, the Din of Hashem, the judgment of Hashem, the throne of Hashem, on the outside it's purple. Purple is dark, purple is royalty, purple is Din. But toichoi rotzuf ahava, the inside is lined with ahava, with love, with kindness. Rabbi Nazal shows over there in Likut Imran that the throne of Hashem, the kisei mishpat of Hashem, the inside is all white, it's love. And chas v'shalom, when Jews transgress against the throne of Hashem, when those rabbis who sit on a throne, every rabbi sits on a throne, because he's a rabbi, he's a representative of Hashem, but especially the judges, they're sitting on the kisei mishpat. A rabbi who serves as a dayan, a judge, he's sitting on the kisei mishpat. And if he doesn't do his job correctly, he is being poigem in the kisei mishpat. He's being poigem in the throne of Hashem. You know what happens as a result of that? Some of that white, some of that whiteness, some of that love, it's toichoi rotzuf ava, falls. Where does it fall? It falls into garbage. It falls into people loving what they shouldn't love. It falls into taivois rois, midois rois, illicit kind of love, love misplaced, misdirected love. And Rabbeinu Zal says there, that's what could cause this pigama bris, chas v'shom. That causes Jews to be affected with mikra laila coming from a pigam in the throne, a pigam in the throne that caused these avos hanefulin, that caused the ava to fall into the wrong places. V'ze nimshach al yidei pigam hatfilin. And Rabbeinu Zal says, what causes all of this? When there's a pigam in the tefillin, al yidei shemalin bechinas tipas esav v'yishmoel el amoyach. When people try improperly to elevate the droplet of Esav or the droplet of Yishmoel to the brain. Again, this would take a long time to explain. We'll try to give a short version of it. Over there in Likutei Moharan, Rabbeinu Zal explains that we usually have a mission, we Jews have a mission, as we just spoke in the previous halacha, of locating sparks of Kedusha that have fallen into the hands of the Sitra Achra, rescuing them, first of all recognizing that this is a holy spark, then rescuing it and elevating it and bringing it back, returning it into the realm of holiness. This spark of holiness that fell out of the arena of holiness, it fell into the Sitra Achra, we want to parachute. We have paratroopers that go behind enemy lines. They dive into the enemy's place in order to do what? In order to rescue victims, in order to rescue these holy sparks that are found there behind enemy lines and bring them back into the domain of Kedusha. However, sometimes a person can make a mistake. Sometimes a person can think that this is a holy spark and it's not. It's actually a droplet of Esav or a droplet of Yishmoel. And those are not supposed to be brought into the Kedusha. If you try to bring them into the Kedusha, they can damage, they can mess up the whole situation. So Rabbeinu Zal over there discusses this concept that when elevating sparks, trying to bring them into the holiness and elevating them, we have to be very careful not to elevate the Tipas Ace of Yishmoel and try to bring that into the Kedusha, where if we do, it could cause major, major problems. For more detail, look over there in Likutei Moharan, chapter 5, in the second half of Likutei Moharan, paragraph 11. Now Rav Nosson Zal is going to discuss this, and he's going to clarify it also for us a bit. Paragraph Beis, V'alkein Yefsher Lodun B'Yechidi. Based on this, we'll understand why a rabbi is not allowed to judge by himself alone. You need minimum three rabbis for a Jewish court. Ki levarer hamishpot kosher v'koved ma'oid. Because to clarify justice, Rav Nosson Zal says, is extremely difficult, very heavy, not easy at all. When there's a conflict, when there's a disagreement, and people are coming in and each one's screaming they're right, and this one has the proofs, and this one has a whole list of papers, and this one has a whole list of papers, to figure out who's right, to figure out what the justice is really in this situation, is very difficult. U'kamoy shomar Shlomo, as Shlomo HaMelech said, Kimi yuchal lishpoit es amcho hakoved hazeh. Who's qualified? Who's in a position to judge this heavy nation? Vafilu Moshe Rabbeinu amar. Even Moshe Rabbeinu said, Lo yuchal levadi se'es eschem. I can't carry this nation alone by myself anymore. Ki hamishpot nofal ma'oid. Al yedei cheta demorishoin, val yedei chatoi hadoiroi sakoidmin, shepogmu bamishpot moid. Because as a result of Adam and Chava eating from the Eitz Hadas, making the wrong choice, and making a whole mishmash of good and bad, choosing instead of being plugged into the Eitz HaChaim, the tree of life, which was all good, they chose to attach themselves to the tree that was good and bad mixed together. So now everything is mishmash. All the good and bad in this world is mixed up together. And it becomes extremely difficult to sort it out. So as a result of the pagam of Adam and Chava and the subsequent generations, the Doir HaFloga and the Doir of Noach, each one of them made this chalent worse. They mixed up, the good and bad got mixed up together more and more. Ki zeh shepogmu b'mishpot moed. All of them messed up in this area of mishpat, judgment, justice, tremendously. Ki zeh she'echod makhish momoin chaveroi. Because Rav Nosson Zal says, this that we find a situation that someone is denying somebody else's money. Reuven says, I lent you this money. And Shimon says, you never lent it to me, or I paid you back. This that we find a situation like that. And someone wants to touch someone else's money or hold on to somebody else's money illegally, improperly. This is an example of a defective judgment. This person is judging incorrectly. He's judging that he's perfectly right and he's perfectly beseder holding on to this money, when he isn't. It ain't his money at all. It's not his at all. Bechinas oise oisher veloy b'mishpat. As the Pasuk says, there are people who acquire wealth, they build up wealth improperly, in an unjust way, taking other people's money, chas v'shalom. Vayideze nimshach pegama bris. And this causes pegama bris. Shebo al yidei pegam ha-mishpot, kanal batoyonal, which is caused when there is defective mishpot. Rabbeinu Zal shows over there in Likut Imran the connection between these two. We know that in Sifrei Kabbalah, it's brought in general that bris is called yesoid, the mid of yesoid, and mishpot is emes. Mishpot is a pasuk, mishpot utzdoko beYaakov. And Yaakov is Emes, Titein Emes LiYaakov. Both of them are represented by the same letter in Hashem's name. In Hashem's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, the Vav is Emes, and the Vav is Bris. The Vav is Yaakov Avinu, and the Vav is Yosef. We know that those two go together. The Torah tells us, Eile told us Yaakov, Yosef, that Yaakov and Yosef lived parallel lives. Rashi shows over it in the beginning of Vayeshev that Yosef HaTzadik's life was a mirror image of what Yaakov Avinu. He left home, he left home. His brother attacked him, his brothers, the whole scenario. So it's brought, Guf Ubris Chadhu. Tiferes and Yesod are like one. Emes and Bris, Mishpot and Bris are like one. Rabbeinu Zal over there in Likut Imran illustrates this even more clearly, that these two are very connected. So when there's a pigam in Mishpot, there's pigam abris. Those two go together. Ki pigam gzeilas momon chaveroi, because the sin of stealing somebody else's money, shehu bechinas pigam amishpot, which is an example of pigam amishpot, shenoitel momon chaveroi sheloi bemishpot, whereby someone is taking somebody else's money in an unjust way, upegama bris, and committing sins in the bris, heim tluyim ze bo ze, are dependent on each other. These two go together. Kemuvan bekama mekoimos bedvorov zal, as is explained in several places in Likutei Moran, ubefrat especially bahatoira gzela, in the chapter in the Likutei Moran, chapter 69, which is all about stealing. As Rabbeinu Zal expounds there on the words in the Gemara, where the Gemara says, Kol hayoyred lo'umenus chaveroi, any person who impinges on his friend's work, he's a carpenter and you're a carpenter, he's a bit, and you move in on his business in an illegal way, in an improper way, Ke'ilu bo alishtoi. It's as if you had relations with his wife. It's as if you took his wife, chas v'shalom. So the Gemara shows there that improper business dealings, chas v'shalom, impinging on somebody else's territory in business is like having relations with his wife. So we see the connection between the mishpat, pegama mishpat, and pegama bris. Ayin Shem, look over there in chapter 69 in Likut Imran. And this is why we find that when the Torah describes the generation of Noach, the generation of the flood, it tells us there, ki hishchis kol bosor es darkoy al horetz, that all flesh was involved in pigama bris. People, even the animals, were mating with different animals not of their species. There was wall-to-wall pigama bris at the time, it says. Ki hishchis kol bosor es darkoy al horetz. Shehu pigama bris. That's talking about pigama bris. V'tekev besomuch. And right next to there, the pasuk says, "Ksiv," that Hashem said, "Kates kol basar bolafonai." I've had it. I've had it with the world. I've decided to put an end to all flesh. You know why? Ki molo haoretz chamos, because the world is full of stealing, thievery, improper money dealings. Upirish Rashi, and Rashi points out over there. Make it 1 second. Which is it? First you said pgama bris, now you're saying stealing. Which is it? Rashi anticipates that question, and Rashi says, loy nechtam dinam elo al hagezel. Even though there was a lot of pgama bris, what sealed it, what clinched it, what made Hashem decide to do away with them was when they started stealing also, when it led to stealing. Kiho beho talya. Because these two areas are very much connected with each other. Kalidei ribui hagezel shupegama mishpot, because when there's a lot of stealing, which is an example of pegama mishpot, ubefrat shehadayonim pogmuoz bamishpot moed, especially when the judges, the leaders, were conducting all kinds of wrong mishpot, k'mosham rabbi senosal, as the Gemara says, be'inyan dayone sedom. The Gemara describes what went on in Sodom and Amor at that time, how the judges would decide laws. They'd chop off people's feet. If the bed was too short, no problem. We cut his feet off. We don't get him a bigger bed. We just cut his feet off so he fits into bed perfectly. And the Gemara shows there, again, how the leadership, especially the judges, were all terrible at the time. Alkain, his gabro taiva zois. That's what caused a major increase in the desire for illegal, illicit relations. Bechinas ki hishchis kol basar es darkoi. V'al kein, hoyo ikar gmar dinom ala gezel shu pegama mishpot, afal pi shebetchila dibe rak mi pegama bris. And that's why the Torah points out that what finalized, what sealed their fate was the stealing, the pegama mishpot. Even though in the beginning it speaks about the pegama bris that went on then, kamo shekoso beparsha kodemes, as it says earlier, vayar Hashem, that Hashem saw ki hishchis kol basar, v'chein beparsha zois. And also over here it says, vayar Hashem es ha'oretz v'hinei nishchasa. When it talks about Sodom and Amor also, it says nishchasa. Shenire, where it seems, she'iker ro'osam hoyezois, that the main thing that they were doing wrong was pegama bris, which is called hashchasa, hashchas mashchezera, shezeh hoya ra bein of yisporo b'yoser, that's what was really bad in Hashem's eyes. That's what really angered Hashem. Just like it says by Er and Onan, the sons of Yehuda, it says vayhi Er ra bein Hashem, that the word ra goes on pegama bris. It says he was spilling, wasting his seed. However, their fate was not sealed, elo ala gezel, only when they were immersed in stealing, shu pegama mishpot. Ki kemishem izgaber pegama bris. Now listen to Rav Nosson Zal's words. Ki kishem izgaber pegama bris, ali de pegama mishpot, because pegama bris is terrible. It's a big problem. But when the pegama bris is being fed by pegama mishpot, when the pegama bris is coming from pegama mishpot, oz koshe ma'oid ma'oid lesakin, then it becomes very, very difficult to fix that kind of Pegam HaBris. Pegam HaBris is a serious thing, very, very difficult to fix, but it's repairable if it's only Pegam HaBris. But when the Pegam HaBris is being fed by Pegam HaMishpat, if it's coming from there and being fed from there, that changes it totally. Kemuva Sham Batoiranal, as Rabbeinu Zal explains over there in chapter 5 in Likutei Moran Tanina, paragraph 11. V'alkein, daiko al yedei hagezel, shehu Pegam HaMishpat, nechtam gzardinom al haniyuf. And that's why by the story of the flood, we see both of these things mentioned there, Pegam HaBris and Pegam HaMishpat. But the Torah tells us that what sealed it, what made Hashem decide to wipe out the whole world, was when the Pegam HaBris was combined with Pegam HaMishpat. Ki ho b'ho talya, because these two are dependent on and feed on each other. Ki kishebo niyuf al yidei Pegam HaMishpat, because when niyuf, when adultery, when sinful relations is being initiated, brought about by Pegam HaMishpat, oz koshe ma'oid lesakein, then it's extremely difficult to fix. Alkein ayidei ze daiko nechtam gzardinam kanal. And that's why the Gemara says, when it was the combination of both, then Hashem said, that's it, I've had it. Here goes, we wipe out the whole world. The kanal, as we explained earlier. Now Rav Nosson Zal says, v'zeh yodua b'kisvei Arizal, and it's known and discussed throughout the writings of the Arizal, shegolus Mitzrayim hoyo l'sakein chet doir hamabul, that one of the main reasons why the Jews went down to Egypt was to repair, to fix the sins of the generation of the flood. We know there was also, we just said earlier, to fix the sin of Adam HaRishon. That was one major issue. Another major issue why 600,000 Jews had to go to Egypt and spend 210 years there was also to rectify the pegam of the Doir HaMabul. V'alkein, this will explain something very interesting. V'alkein, and therefore, kishero Moshe ish Mitzri makeh, when Moshe Rabbeinu saw on one day, he saw an Egyptian beating up a Jew. And then the next day he saw two Jews beating up on a Jew beating up another Jew. Va'achar kach shnei anoshim ivrim nitzim. And then the next day he saw two Jews fighting. Omar Moshe Rabbeinu said, Ochein noida hadovor. Now I understand. Now I know. Now I know why, out of all the nations in the world, the nation that gets persecuted the most is the Jewish nation. Why? Compared to the others, where it says, why are we being beaten up so much by everybody else? Why? Mashi Yisroel begolus. Now he understood why the Jewish people are in exile. K'moisham Rabbi Senozal, as the Gemara says, Hainu, mach mashero shadayin poigmen b'mishpat. Moshe Rabbeinu saw that we are still living with injustice. There's still infighting among the Jews, that we're not behaving properly towards each other. Ki hamachloikes v'hamariva hepech hamishpat. Because fighting and arguing and hating each other, that's the opposite of pure mishpat. Shehu b'chinas sholom. Because true mishpat, true justice in Judaism is all about peace. Kamasha Kosov, as the Pasuk says, Emes u'mishpat shalom shiftu. Truth and a just judgment of peace, you should judge. So we see that the right mishpat is only mishpat shalom. And we know the courts are courts, justice of the peace. That's what he's called. That's what the judges are called. Alkein Omar, therefore Moshe Rabbeinu said, Ochein noida hadovar. Now I know, now I understand why the Jews are suffering so much. She Yisrael nesunin bagolus kol kach, that the Jewish nation is spending so much time, so many hundreds of years, and so much suffering in exile. Ki zeh machmas pegam hamishpat. It's based on a pegam in mishpat. shekoshe ma'oid levarer, which is extremely difficult to fix, to sort out, to rectify. We'll hold it over here.